They always say, I actually heard, it was actually a young pastor, Eric, that actually said this in one of his talks. I think it was actually in his talk, but in his book as well, where, you know, that your tombstone, that has, you know, born 1980, or, you know, dead, you know, 2000, whatever, there's a dash in between. What does your dash mean?
In 1837, Horace Mann created the education system, a system at the time designed to pump out factory workers and professors, the same system that is still being used today in the 21st century. Now, Mann's system is backfiring. We are being molded by the same industrial system that has existed for close to 200 years. That system delivers us into a digital economy that has no need of our outdated skills. This isn't our teachers' fault. This isn't the government's fault. This is due to a rapidly changing world full of technology and unforeseen circumstances. And us Gen Zs are caught in the middle. Welcome to the Driven Young Podcast, the podcast for stressed, overwhelmed young Australians, teaching you practical life skills you can implement now to set yourself up in life. And now your host, Byron Dempsey.
Welcome back to the Driven Young Podcast. Today I'm joined by Student Edge co-founder Jeremy Shetty. Student Edge was started in 2003 by four students from William Senior High School in Perth who recognised a gap between the school curriculum and essential life skills not taught in classrooms. Of particular concern was the pressure placing students to choose the subjects that would determine their career pathway at 15 with little support besides a 600-page career profile book. Student Edge helps students stretch their allowances further in the face of rising costs of living. They help students navigate their way through student life and better prepare them for the adult world with no hidden or political genders. I'm sure you can see why I'm excited to have Jeremy on the podcast. It's super, super aligned with what we talk about on the show. But not only is Student Edge an amazing company, Jeremy is super down to earth. He's humble and an amazing presenter. So make sure you check out studentedge.org. They're doing some awesome stuff, and I know they have a huge year planned for 2022. As per usual, please DM me on Instagram. I have some big things coming yet this year as well. So make sure you stay tuned. Please leave a review on Spotify if you have a spare 30 seconds. That would mean a lot to me. Now, over to Jeremy. Jeremy, welcome so much to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Byron.
This is going to be an awesome episode. Obviously, you're one of the co-founders of Student Edge, who's also the sponsor of this episode and has been sponsoring a bunch of my episodes. It's been a very, very fun partnership and a very great partnership because, you know, very heavily aligned. And I'm sure we'll talk a lot about your journey starting the company and why you started that. I know you started it quite young, but if we go back even further, I'd love to know what you did after high school. Did you go uni? Yep. Did you work, take a year off? And what was the decision-making process like for you?
Yeah, really good question. So pretty much like all young people, I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
When I was in school. But it was in school that I guess I learned about, I guess, my, you could say, gift in terms of, you know, networking and talking to people. I went to a school called Willetton Senior High School and, you know, it was over 2,000 students at our school. And it was the best thing for someone that wants to communicate and network, right? So I spent the best part of my, especially my latter parts, like year 11, year 12, you know, socializing, you know, organizing parties, and to the point where I was so busy doing all that that I failed my ATAR, or if you want to call it TE or TER back when I was in school, but essentially failed my ATAR, didn't get a high enough score to get any uni. And I was so confident back then that I just put down, you know, my top four universities that I wanted to do business at. Business seemed to be the general thing that everyone was doing. So I just did that and thought, oh, that suits, does marketing in there. Marketing is, you know, talking and sales. So chose that. But then, yeah, come end of December, when everyone gets that letter, open it up.
The dreaded letter with a number on it.
The dreaded letter, open it up. And I'm like, oh, this is a pretty low score. Couldn't even get into, yeah, any uni for a business degree. So at that point, I was like, wow, what do we do? And, you know, as my mum recalls it, because she played a very influential role in my journey in terms of, you know, getting out of that rut because it was a rut. So the best part of from December to, you know, say mid-Jan, you could say I was depressed. Right. I was on the couch. Didn't leave the house because all my mates had their letters and everyone was talking about their, you know, I'm going to this uni and going to that uni. And here I was just sitting at home going, wow, what am I going to do? Because I actually legit thought I was going to get into uni. I was that confident that I was going to ace because I chose subjects that were so easy. HR subject was so easy. I thought, oh, yeah, I'll be able to get through. But anyway, didn't get that. And then, mate, this is where you always, when you look back in time and you look at your journey, you always appreciate the people that were right there for you, supporting you. And my mum, so this is what she does. So full credit to her. She goes, get off the couch, we're going for a drive. And I'm like, well, where are we going for a drive? She's getting the car, we're going for a drive. So she drives me to this TAFE that is a few kilometres away. And we get up to the TAFE, I'm like driving up to TAFE going, what are we doing at TAFE? What's going on here? Anyway, we walk up to the admin building and she walks up to the reception. She says, oh, look, you need to enroll my son in something. And the lady's like, oh, well, the enrollment's like closed months ago. I'm sorry. She's like, there's got to be something you can enroll my son in. I'm just watching this all play out at the reception thinking, I'm not going to TAFE. No one goes to TAFE. I'm not going to TAFE. Anyway, she does. She goes, look, I'll tell you what, I'll go and speak to my manager and come back. She comes back. She goes, look, you know what, Mrs. Chetty, we've got like two spots left on this particular course called Diploma Business. But we have to enroll him right now. And she said, yep, done. So I ended up enrolling in this Diploma of Business. And it was the best thing ever, Byron, because it was just like school. You get there at 8:30, finishes at 3 o'clock. It's like one class and the teachers come to you. So it's like just like high school. Now, as it would have it, this particular diploma I did, it was the first year and it's never been offered again, where you do this 12-month diploma business and you get full one-year credit into Murdoch University.
Ah, so that was your way to get in.
That was my way to get in. It's never been offered again, a full 1 year. Now they do like, you know, credit points and so on, but this was a full 12 months of credit into Murdoch University. And I go straight into second year.
Yeah. So now you're not behind your friends at all. You're, you know.
Now I'm joining them. And you know what's the best bit? Some of those friends that went to uni actually dropped off.
Yeah.
And flunked and changed degrees and so forth. Whereas I went straight in, smooth sailing into second year, BCom at Murdoch, finished off my degree, and then the last year of Murdoch, we started Student Edge.
Wow. So how old were you when you started Student Edge?
22.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? I know a few people who it's like, you know, bombing the ATAR was one of the best things that ever happened to them. And it's like, because I mean, as you know, my whole story, I always talk about how I think making that decision at 18 years old, you know, you're in the middle of your HSC, you're getting early entry, you've got to decide what you want to do. I think there's way too much pressure on people. Yeah. And, you know, even like someone like you probably felt like you're a failure. You're sitting on the couch, all your friends were going to uni. It's like, were you really a failure just because you couldn't sit tests quite as well as them?
Yeah. And that's probably the real driver as to why I'm so passionate about, you know, Student Edge and what we're doing for students, is because no career path is linear. And it's all about discovering who you are and discovering that gift and then providing a pathway to help that student get to where they need to get to. Yeah. It's not a, you know, go to university, get a job equals success. That message is still being sold and we need to change that narrative. And Student Edge is just one organization that is changing that narrative, where young people just need to discover who they are, you know, and you can go as young as you want. And the old trick that I always say is, you know, if you don't know what your gift is, just simply ask your question, what's the easiest thing you do with the least amount of effort? For me, it was talking, you know, and if you don't know, ask people around you. So for me, I always, you know, again, going back to my mum, she said, you know, because I grew up in South Africa, apartheid South Africa, in the 80s, I'm an 80s baby. And she said, look, as soon as you could talk, you know, you were walking around the village and where we lived in South Africa, just talking to people, old people, young people. And that was around three years old. So, and because it was a small village, she just let me just walk and, you know, go to the neighbors' houses and so forth. So I was doing that since 3 years old. So that's always been my thing. And then if you're unsure, like I was, you know, later on, especially those challenging times when I was in year 12, just ask people that are close to you. Like, you know, for me, it was my mom, you know, well, what am I good at? And they'll tell you, you know, you're good at this. You're really good at music. You're really good at writing. You're really good at, you know, photography. You're really good at, or when you were small, you always played with building blocks. And, you know, there's success leaves clues, as I always say. So,
Do you want some interesting, because, yeah, I think it's a fantastic point. And one of my friends, I had her on the podcast as well. Her name's Annalise, and she's now a women's public speaking coach. And so when she was younger and in high school, everyone said, you know, she was really good at debating and she was very good at, she was very well spoken. And so everyone said, you should be a solicitor. You should be a lawyer. You're so well at presenting and everything. And so she went and became a lawyer because of that reason. And now she's realized that's not what she wants to do. And she coaches women to help them discover their own voice. And she started her own business. And so it's interesting. I think, you know, if you figure it, like, once you figure out what people are telling you, what you're good at, there's so many things you can do with that. Oh, I'm a photographer. I'm good. I'm a creative. Okay. Do I like photography? Do I like video? Do I like drawing? Do I like doing this?
Yep.
I'm good at speaking. Should I be a public speaker? Should I be a solicitor? Should I, you know, should I go in politics? Like, there's so many variables, but the first step, as you mentioned, is just what did you say? What do you do with the least amount of effort?
Yeah. What are you really good at that you do with the least amount of effort? Mm. So for me, you know, I can speak till the cows come home. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can speak to people. Like, it's so funny, the opposite, when I go to, like, you know, networking events and my colleagues are like, oh, gee, I'm so bummed after that event, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, man, I'm just getting started. And it's 11 o'clock. Do you know what I mean? So different people have different energies based on their gifting. Do you know what I mean? Some people get tired from talking. I get more energized as I speak to more people. So, and I always tell young people as well, once you've found the gift, here's the best bit about it. You can never get fired from your gift.
Mm.
Once you've discovered it, the world's your oyster. No one can fire you from your gift. So, yeah, I would encourage any young people to, anyone that's going through this journey right now and unsure, just think about that. You know, what do you do best? If you were left alone in your own spare time, what do? Do you write? Do you shoot videos? Do you make music?
Yeah.
Do you just love speaking to people? Something there. Anyway, that's been my...
I was going to say, it's a concept that, you know, me and Joe talk about. My friend Joe, he calls it the audience of none. What would you do to an audience of zero people? Would you draw just because you love drawing? Yep. Would you speak? You know, and for me, I always talk about podcasting because most people don't get any listeners when they start a podcast. And that's fine because you're not doing it for listeners. It's an audience of none project. And for me, the first 6 months of the show, I didn't have any listeners, you know?
Yep.
But because I love doing it and I was learning from it, etc.
Yep.
You know, you get listeners as a byproduct of that and you grow as a byproduct. So yeah, I do think that's a really important concept. Like, what do you love doing to an audience of zero people? Would you dance on stage if no one's there? And that's, you know, that's stuff I wish we learned in school, but that's like the first step when it comes to what I want to do with my life.
Yep. Yep. So sorry, that was a long answer to your question. But so that was been my journey, you know, and that's why I'm a big advocate as well, Byron, for TAFE. Very big advocate for TAFE. I think if you're unsure or you want something a bit more that's like school as well, go to TAFE, you know, and TAFE now have such amazing pathways. And if you like what you're doing, it's a good taster. 12 months to do a diploma in business or whatever it may, or marketing or whatever it is. After that, you can just progress it.
Mm.
Do a university degree in it. You don't have to jump straight into the university.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it might not work for you, like some of my mates. You know, they end up spending most of their time at the tavern and the pub, you know, because it's such a big jump from high school to university and no one really manages that transition well. So,
no, it's a huge jump. You know, you go from being coddled and your teachers are, you know, always looking after you to university when it's very independent and you've got to be self-motivated and, you know, put in the work. I think I hear it quite a lot. People always say, well, high school's different because when I'm studying uni, I'll actually enjoy what I'm doing because now I've got to do six subjects and I only enjoy two of them. From what I've seen, that's not the case. There's still going to be parts of your degree or whatever you study that you're not going to enjoy. And then it links back to your why, like why are you doing this? But I do agree on the TAFE comment and tradie comment. I talk about tradies as well. I think tradie and TAFE have negative connotations in today's world. People see them as, you know, lesser pathways or they think down on those types of people when it's like, tradie, you're getting paid to learn. And you're going into one of the most high demand fields in Australia right now. Sure, it's, you know, it's hard labor, but you could take your knowledge and start a business in 5 years' time and outsource that and grow that out. And I know lots of people who have trade businesses and construction and stuff. Same goes with TAFE. I think TAFE is very practical. It's a lower barrier to entry and there's a lot of opportunities that can come from it. But a lot of people won't do it because when someone asks, what are you doing with your life? And you say, I'm going to TAFE, they go, oh, it's not as prestigious as a university degree.
Exactly. And I think, you know, that plays into a much deeper point, Byron, around listening to other people's opinions and views. That's a massive problem. And obviously social media amplifies those opinions of people. And what it essentially does, it creates so much noise for a young person that they can't make the decision they need to make.
Mm.
Because they've got all these commentary coming from different people, mum, dad, friends, you know, you name it. It's just how do you make a decision clearly? And that's why I think I encourage a lot of young people to try and find that quiet spot. And I don't mean physically, like that quiet spot where you just get rid of the noise and go, okay, what do I really want to do? Because guess what? Whatever career path you choose, if you're doing it for mum and dad's expectations, they're going to be dead and gone and you're going to be doing this, you know, this career that you hate. Just think about it that way.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So don't get caught into that pleasing people scenario around your own career because only you know what you're good at.
Yeah.
It's very hard. So
I think, you know, the parent conversation is a very interesting one because I deal, you know, I work with a lot of young people. I see parents who just don't let the kids do anything. You know, I've got a good, great guy. He's started a marketing agency. He's making more money. He's also starting a business degree. And he hates it. He knows he's never going to use it. And he's making more money in this new business he started than he will when he graduates. And his parents just wouldn't let him drop out. And he finally dropped out and he got kicked out of his house. And I'm like, that's so tough. And that's not a rare occurrence. I see a lot of that happening. And I think you're better off to have your parents resent you for, you know, 1 or 2 years while you figure out what you're doing rather than you resent them for the rest of your life because, you know, you went down a career pathway that they forced you down. And as you mentioned, at one point, you know, they'll be gone and you're doing something you wanted to do to please them. And now you're going, well, why did I do all this?
Yeah. And look, and if there's the young people that are listening to this, you know, I get it. It's tough. And especially if you put the ethnic hat on as well, Byron, is that extra layer of culture that goes across the ethnic community as well. It's so strong that you can't even bend it. It's generational. I'm talking about Indian, Chinese cultures. They're generational. That's not going to change anytime soon. So I feel for any young people that are listening to your podcast now that are in this situation. It is hard. I get it. It is hard. And what I try and encourage young people that are in that particular situation is try and find a middle ground. Okay, if you don't have the courage to go, like I said, just, you know, get kicked out of home and, you know, afraid of that is pretty full on, right?
It's very full on, yeah.
So here's the middle ground, Byron. So I use my life as an example. So for my mum and dad, they also said, look, they didn't say, you know, you need to be this, but they did say, get a degree.
Mm.
You know, I'm first in family. So for my parents, it was even stronger in terms of get a degree at least. If you're unsure, at least get that piece of paper. It's always something you can fall back on. So that was the expectation from my folks was get that degree, not do a specific profession. But that's still tough. So for me, it was like, okay, you know what? I'll do it. They are right. It's a safeguard. So let me just do it while I'm still figuring out what I'm, you know, supposed to do, right? And the point I'm making is what we don't want young people is to stop doing stuff. Because what we'll find is that a lot of people just stop. They get into a rut and they're like, you know what? I hate this expectation from my parents. I don't know what I want to do. And they end up being in this limbo, right? And that's the dangerous bit. And that's why I'm encouraging a middle ground situation in this particular point is around just keep moving forward. If it's that thing that the parents want you to do, great. But take ownership of your journey and go, during that time, why don't you figure it out? What you want to do during that time, right? Don't stop, still keep going forward, figure it out and then tell your parents, hey, look, done doing this, you know, this degree and want this profession, blah, 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 but actually this is what I really want to do and have that open conversation with them. Just don't stop the process and go, I'm not doing that at all. That may change to a resentment piece. And a difficult piece for both parties. So there's a kind of a middle ground. It's not the end outcome that a young person would want, but it does prevent a happy house in the sense that you're at home, you're not resenting your parents, you're still moving forward. So that's the only middle ground I can think. I wouldn't encourage anyone to just go completely resentful.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that is the middle ground. While you're figuring it out, but I encourage young people to figure it out during that time.
Yeah.
Well, do whatever
That's a big message I promote, and that's why I've started my, you know, my program. It's all about figuring out, you know, what you want to do. And, you know, I think you can do that through meeting people, experimenting, trial and error. And so, yeah, I completely agree. And it's a tough one, you know. Some people might just completely move out home. But, yeah, I think middle ground is the most practical and realistic example. Because, obviously, you know, your parents want the best for you, and you obviously love your parents. There's no, it's an interesting battle. You know, it's an interesting battle because it's like you're not actually fighting each other because it's like you're on the same side here. You both want the best. You know, they want the best for you. You want the best for yourself. They just have different perceptions of the world than what you do.
Yeah, but it is a tough one. So, but I'll just, like I said, encourage all young people or anyone listening to this podcast is just keep moving forward. Don't ever stay still. Just keep moving forward. And something will play out for you, and a door might open, a contact might, you know, come into you, someone might, you know, it'll happen for you as long as you keep moving forward.
It's honestly a simple thing to say, but man, it's so true. Like the second you stop growing, the second you stop, you know, growing, get out of your comfort zone, it's dangerous because then you're just going to settle, and you don't want to settle. You shouldn't be settling while you're young. You can settle when you're, you know, 40, 50, but not now. Don't settle now. But I mean, moving on, you go.
I was going to say, I'll take a step further, Brian, and say, don't settle at all.
I was just going to say that as well.
Life is, you know, it's lifelong learning, lifelong educating. I think you settle when you're dead. That's just the way I look at it. Because if you don't stop learning, you essentially die, right? You have to have that curiosity and hunger to keep bettering yourself. And I think that's where a lot of adults think, oh, you know what? This is enough now. I've got the degree, got the job. But then, you know, situations like COVID come along. Then you don't have a job. All of a sudden you're out of work. But what have you done in terms of educating yourself, bettering yourself, developing yourself, other skills that you can have? And everyone's reactive to that. Whereas I always say be proactive and constantly keep learning. And, you know, it's funny, we've been at Student Edge doing this over 17 years now. I'm just getting started. You know what I mean? Most people think, oh, yeah, hang on a second. Built a, you know, big business and it must be flying and this and that. It's like, no, I'm just getting started.
Well, you showed me what Student Edge is looking like next year, and it's huge. Like, you guys are doing more next year than, like, you've done in the past kind of few years.
We're pumped. We were, like, absolutely pumped. It's like I got the same energy that I've got from back when I was 22.
Yeah.
You know, getting up in the morning and just, yeah, firing on all cylinders. Because, and you know what? It comes down to, like, you know, running your own business, that the fact that you want to be so pumped about solving a problem that's so big, you're just like, we've got to do it. Like, I'm obsessed with the problem we're solving. Entrepreneurs always, you know, we solve problems, right, Byron?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, you started this thing because you're pumped. You can't sit on the sidelines and watch any more young people going through the stress, going through the hurt, going through the mental health problems, going through the self-harm, all the symptoms and consequences. We can't sit on the sidelines anymore. Young people need our support. They need our help. I'm every day in the problem. I get up in the morning going, this problem is so big that we could spend the next, you know, 20, 30 years working on it. That's how big it is. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
I'm like you, man. We just pumped every day because we just want to help people. You know, you're using the podcast, your website, your events, your seminars and so forth, your workshops. And we've just got a platform. And we just want to help as many young people as we can, man. They need our help more than ever.
Absolutely. And it's funny you say, you know, you're 17 years in and you're still waking up excited. Because I think, you know, most people have the idea that when you get a job, once you're 15 years in, you're pretty burnt out from it, right? And, you know, even for me, like, I'm so much more passionate about what I do now than I was when I started. Because you think, oh, you'd be the most passionate you are when you start. Exactly. Not for me. Like, I get messages regularly, and I get, you know, I meet someone who says this. And because of just by nature of, you know, what I put out, everyone always opens up to me when they meet me. They're like, oh, you know, I'm not really enjoying uni. That's the first thing they say, because they know who I am and they know I'm a safe person to talk to. And so for me, I'm like, man, there's problems, as you said, it's even bigger than I imagined. And I'm more passionate than I was when I started. And I think that's a really cool place to be in when you're getting more and more passionate about what you do. Because even what you said earlier on, like, how many people have 20 years experience, which is really just 20 years working in the same field and you've got 3 years of experience repeated over 20 years.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think, you know, like I said, with entrepreneurs, we always sit the problem. And this is where, you know, if anyone's listening that's currently got an idea and they want to turn it to reality, or they're building a business and starting out in this startup journey, all I encourage you is to get immersed in the problem. Focus on the problem, because I see a lot of young entrepreneurs focus on the solution. They say how great their app is or their platform or their product or their service. And I'm like, you know, whatever. Tell me about the problem you're trying to solve. We sit in the problem. I'm constantly every day listening to what the market is saying, whether it's young people or educators or school principals or parents. That's where the magic is.
Mm.
That's who we're solving. We were solving problems for those stakeholders, right? For those people we serve. So the solution is just technology. It's, you know, yeah, website. It's, you know, an app. Great. Everyone can create those things. But how relevant is the problem you're trying to solve? So you've got to be on the pulse of the problem, I always say.
Well, that's like you know, Afterpay just sold for $30 billion, which is, I guess, the fastest growing company in Australia for a long time, right? And I just kind of go, you know, from all means of, you know, if you look at that, that's a huge success, right? But then I go, what's the problem they're solving? Well, really, they're kind of taking advantage of, you know, interest, and they're taking advantage of instant gratification. I would say they don't really solve a problem. You know, for some people, maybe it's great if they use it right. But, you know, the reason they're worth so much money is because it's a profitable company. And where does it make its profits from? From people who can't afford to repay their payments because they're being a bit too greedy. And so I'm like, yeah, it, financially, it's a successful company, but is it the most fulfilling and rewarding? I don't know. Yep. I could be wrong here, but that's kind of like just kind of a food for thought.
Yeah, look. Look. Firstly, the Afterpay story is just phenomenal. It is inspiring, and you know, from a founder's point of view, it's just an awesome story. But if I just put that aside for a moment and just think about, you know, if we look at why we start apps, why we start businesses and ideas, we've got to look at how do we actually add value to our community. How do we add value to people's lives? Do you know what I mean? Gone are the days, I believe, of companies that get started up purely just to, you know, like I said, make money and, you know, just take advantage. I think we're living in a world now, look, those companies, you know, it's going to be tougher for them to operate because of the transparency. And the way I look at it is the young people that are coming through, they know more about your company than you do. Information is everywhere about your company. We need to start doing the right thing. And I heard someone say not so long ago at an event talking about Industry 5.0. We talk about Industry 4.0. It's actually Industry 5.0, which is actually about making good, doing good. We have to start there. If we're going to have an organization that's going to stand the test of time, we have to do good by the planet, by our people, by our environment. Those are the organizations that are going to stand the test of time, Byron. You know, and like I said, not looking at the Afterpay as an example, but, you know, where are we adding value to people's lives in a genuine way? And like I said, I'm speaking this with conviction because with Student Edge, you know, our mission is to improve the lives of students at every stage of life. That's our mission. If we're not doing that, then we've got to be held accountable and people are going to call us out on it. If we're not delivering on that mission, that is the first and foremost. In terms of our values, students first. Every single thing that we weigh is by students first. Is this helpful to the student? Does this actually improve the life of a student? Does this help them along their journey? We have to be that straight. We have to be that transparent. And then we're convicted by it, right? So we live by it. Yeah, I think if you're building a business now, or you're starting a business, or you're in a business now, keep your mission, keep your values, keep your vision at the forefront. Print it out, put it in front of you, you know, put it on your fridge, whatever. Because you're going to get that. That's going to be the success of your business in the future. The companies that are doing what they're doing now around just purely what I say market opportunity, a grab, making profit, getting good valuation, selling, exiting. I call them, there's different type of founders as well, right? So there's a layer of founders called lifestyle founders, where they could go run, set up 10 businesses over a time, start it, flip it, exit, go for it. But they're living a lifestyle. They're using that wealth to live a lifestyle that they want. So they create a lifestyle first, and that's what they're driven by every day, that I want this, I want that, I want this. That's a lifestyle entrepreneur. And then you get mission entrepreneurs, you know. And I would even put some like, you know, you look at your Jeff Bezos of the world, et cetera. They're mission entrepreneurs, right? They're really obsessed with the customer. How do I serve this customer better? They don't care about what house they have or their car they drive. They're not lifestyle entrepreneurs. They're mission entrepreneurs. And that's the difference, you know. And there's a few other different types as well. But just want to make that clear, because that actually dictates where a business actually goes. Whether you're talking about an afterpay or anything else, it's driven by what the founder is trying to create.
Absolutely. And I completely agree. You know, the days of businesses just starting for profit are over. I think there has to be more than that. If you're looking at starting a business, you know, don't look at the business, look at the problem. It always has to be, what's the problem you're trying to solve? And then you can figure out how you do that. So start with why. Yep. You know, what's the problem? Yep. And then you can do it through. I mean, we're trying to solve the same problem. We're doing it different ways. I've got podcasting, events and stuff. You guys do it through your website and everything you do there, which, by the way, did you want to give us a rundown of, I guess, what Student Edge is? I'd love to also know, I guess, a startup story. Like, how did you come across that problem? How did you get started in it? And what are you guys currently up to right now with the platform?
Yeah, well, so there's a few questions in there, but I'll try and articulate in a straight narrative. But mate, the light bulb moment was really, one of my friends, Simon Loader, who, really came to me because he saw this challenge happening with his younger brother, which is, you know, getting presented with this 400-page book about what careers to choose back in year nine. And to be honest, there's still some schools using that same method. Yeah,
mine did.
Here's the thing. Yeah, there you go. Everyone remembers that, right?
It's like a UAC book or something.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. I don't know what the book was called, but anyway, thick book. All these careers, choosing. Now it's all online, of course. But anyway, he came to this problem. He said, look, this is just not right. There's so much stress caused by this decision-making process. And his actually original idea was, hey, why don't we create this book called Options? Present all the different pathways and the things that students can do, and let's give it out to students. So that was the light bulb moment, right? And then I said, hey, look, you know, Simon, there's this thing called Google now. So why don't we actually create a website that essentially articulates the exact same thing? And what ended up unfolding after doing, you know, this is an important step in startup where you got to do your validation. So we spent best part of a year, you know, talking to students, went back to our local high school, Willett Senior High School, spoke to students. And what we essentially uncovered, Byron, was there's some other things we needed to help students with. And essentially we've narrowed it down to, you know, today what the value proposition of Student Edge is, which is, you know, save, earn, learn. So basically helping students with better financial management, helping them with their getting job ready, and helping them make great career and life choices. There are three pillars of Student Edge, and that's the value proposition that sits with Student Edge, save, earn, learn, which is, you know, how do we actually save young people money? So if we started speaking to them, we found out that discounts and saving money was a big component. And that's where we started as well. So this is another thing when you're starting a business, we identified those three things in the research. But when you're a broke student and got no money to start a business, you got to really pick one thing and do it really well at the start. So for us, it was the discounts, or that save pillar is where we started. We said, let's get this off the ground. Let's get, you know, all these discounts onto one card. It was a card back then. Now it's an app. Let's go and negotiate those discounts. Let's get students going. And it's the best thing ever, because when we focused on one thing, it allowed us to build a brand, allowed us to build a membership, allowed us to build a business model. And we did that for 4 years before we got our first bit of capital. Because if we didn't do that, bootstrapping to get that one thing off the ground, we wouldn't have got our first bit of investment. So I always say to young people building a business, yes, you want to do the big, you know, all the things you want to do for the startup, but then pick one thing, do it really well, build a business, build a membership, build a brand, that's how you get going. And that's what we started with Student Edge. That's why the discounts was the anchor.
Mm.
And still to today, you know, a lot of young people come to Student Edge and join Student Edge because they want to get that free drink at McDonald's, or they want to get that cheap pizza at Domino's, or the cheap movie tickets at Hoyts. We've got 165 brands plus now that our team negotiate with every day, 1.2 million students on our base, aged between 12 and 25 years old. We're pumped. And now we get to do the other pillars as well.
Mm.
And there's some exciting things happening in 2022 as well around those other two pillars, which we believe are global game changers. And that's a whole podcast in itself, Byron, in terms of what we're rolling out. But essentially what we want to do is essentially equip young people with those key life and employable skills. So we've got a premium offering called Student Edge Plus, which is now being rolled out to on our platform, of course, but of course through schools and just really equipping them with those key life skills like, you know, resilience, empathy, collaboration, communication, all the things that we essentially need to excel in life, but excel in definitely in our career and employment. So that's rolled out. So Student Edge Plus is rolling out as we speak. It's going to be massive next year when we roll it out across the country. That's a key component of our offering that will be
added to our members. That's like online courses around with experts who I've been interviewing on the podcast, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
Whenever I bring on a Student Edge Plus expert, they've got their own course. So Taj talks about starting a business, which is great.
Awesome.
Lacey does a whole money and finance section. She's phenomenal. So this is a big reason I wanted to do the partnership, because it's like I talk about teaching practical life skills. And then you're like, hey, Byron, we've got Student Edge Plus. It's where we teach practical life skills in like a much more. Yeah, exactly. Yep. I do a podcast where this is more like a sit down. Okay, let's break it down into much more detail. I'm probably a bit more, you know, mindset. And like, here's the different tips you can do and stuff. But really, you'll probably be listening to this while driving or at the gym or something, where Student Edge Plus is more like an online class. And it's really great because you've got all the mentors you have. You know, this is what I love. They're not just good at what they do, but they're good presenters as well, which is so important. Like, you don't want to listen to someone who's boring.
Got to be engaging.
Mm.
Yep. The last part of the product, which I'm not at liberty to share in full detail because you know why, but is, you know, how do we evidence all this learning? How do we get young people showcased? How do we, and going back to, you know, when I flunked my year 12, I relied on that score. I relied on that score. That was the only thing I was left with, Byron. And if I didn't get that score, which I didn't, mate, depression, right? We have to change how we showcase young people and their journey of the last 5 years, in particular of their high school. There has to be a better way that's not just a score. And that's the new part of Student Edge and our offering next year that we'll be launching and releasing, is how do we give them a tool that's not a score, that is evidence of the last 5 years of high school, that is holistic, that showcases all the cool things. Like, I worked in the high school musical.
Mm.
I did Rock of Stedford. I did a Duke of Edinburgh. I did a hackathon. I went on a leadership camp. I did rowing. I did volunteering at this place. I did work experience here. I did an internship here. This is what I learned. This is what I didn't like. This is the experience. These are the skills I collect along the way. These are the micro credentials I've done. There has to be a better way. And Student Edge will be rolling out something really cool that's a feature to the membership that'll round out all of that. But not only showcase, but then connect them to those opportunities, to future courses they can learn, degrees, diplomas. Really bring all that in to the membership in a seamless, safe, and moderated way. That's where we're going to change the game next year with our 1.2 million members and growing. It's a global offering for us. As you know, we've got members in USA, we've got members in the UK, India, and so forth. So that's where we're going to change the game of how Student Edge as a membership is going to change the way the young people get into that. And like I did a presentation at a school not so long ago, a few months back, and, you know, when I finished describing this as a product to the membership, as an offering, this year nine student said, wow, so you're like the Facebook of opportunity. And I just thought, I'm going to take that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because because that's essentially, Byron, what our platform is going to do in the future. So right now, the current Student Edge offering and membership is quite straightforward. It's great. But how do we go into 2022 and beyond is be the platform of opportunity that connects young people with their key skills, their key ambitions, aspirations. How do we connect them in a safe and moderated way? That's what we're pumped about, mate. And that's where I think we're really going to change the way young people are employed in the future and how they're educated in the future.
It's so exciting. And, you know, I talk with Amy, who's, I guess, been managing me. She's part of your team. And, you know, you showed me some of the technology that you guys are developing to help with that next year. And, you know, I already told you I'm a huge fan of it. I'm going to be including it in my programs. I'm going to be like getting as many people on it as I can. Because when you showed me like the beta version as well. And I was like, damn, this is awesome. And you're like, well, we're still developing it. So it's still.
Yes, we're still. And that's still developing it. It's in beta. We've got 40,000 students in beta though, but and they're loving it. And yeah, shout out to Amy. Amy's our product marketing manager. She's amazing. And we're pumped about what we're going to roll out with her and the marketing plan she's got to execute next year. But look, more importantly, it's about how are we going to change one student's life at a time.
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to, right? You know, I get pumped if they can use this product. If they're not using this product, then you know. We need to do something better.
Mm.
You know, if success is, you know, listening from a young person saying, I use this. It's helped me get a job.
Mm.
It's helped me connect to uni. It's helped me, you know, upskill my communication. You know, that's the stories I want to hear next year.
Yeah.
No, accountability.
It's so exciting because, I mean, this is where the rubber hits the road. You know, you've built up, you've spent, you know, 17 years developing the business, you know, all this time you've been growing it. And it's like, I can see now it's like, okay, now we have the funding, we've got the team, we've got everything we can put together and really make like an impact. Cause most companies, it's so easy not to do that. It's so easy to just put out stuff and be like, you know, oh, we've got this many members and it's, yeah, but what impact are you really making? If we're being real, I know a lot of companies out there that are like that. And I'd rather have less reach, but more of an impact. And that's where it's like, for me, a big reason I started my program was I had people reaching out to me like, hey, Byron, your podcast has changed my life. And they're like, hey, Byron, I just got a job because of you. I just got a job at a law firm that I dreamed at because you convinced me to start reaching out to people. And it's like, man, if I can have this impact through audio, imagine what I can do in person when I structure a program, when I get people in the same room together. And that's where I'm really excited for the future because that's where I'm trying to work. And, you know, partnering with you guys is super exciting because you've got the technology and everything that's to come. And I would say to any listeners, like, definitely stay in this space because it's going to be very exciting, especially if you're, you know, if you're young and you're looking, if all this stuff that we said sounds appealing to you.
Yep. And look, that point you made about impact, Byron, that is the key. I think all businesses should have a impact meter, metric, KPI. Why are we here?
Mm.
What needle are we moving forward with the person that we're serving? How are we improving their life? Where's the needle at?
Mm.
Are we measuring it every month, every quarter, every year? And then to your point, man, how awesome if we can actually inspire other people even as an individual. You don't have to have a big business like Student Edge. I think wouldn't it be cool if we all had a personal impact meter?
Mm.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
And I was actually, you know, meditation is part of my morning routine. And last week I actually was thinking about it, meditating about this, going, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we all got up every morning going, what impact are we going to make today in the world? And that doesn't have to be big. That doesn't have to be small.
Mm.
Like, you know, big, small, doesn't matter. But the attitude of how are we going to really add value to our community today? What am I going to do? And it could be little things. It's not about creating a business. You don't need to create a business to have impact. But what are the things you can do? And I always think back because, you know, for me, Byron, in my personal story, and growing up in apartheid South Africa, you know, like fourth generation Indians that came from India to South Africa as slaves. The success that I have today is riding on the shoulders of other giants, right?
Yeah.
That I was saying.
Yeah.
And I credit my mum. I credit my mum's mum and so forth. And just a short antidote, you know, she's not alive. My grandma's not alive anymore. It's my mum's mum. But I just think about the little sacrifices that she made, right, to allow my mum to get educated and have a job. And I'm talking about, Byron, she was the most selfless person, like in terms of, like she had no education. She raised five kids in apartheid South Africa, right?
Mm.
And mum tells me the stories where, you know, she wouldn't eat because they couldn't afford food. She wouldn't eat dinner. She would make sure all the kids are eating.
Mm-hmm.
My mum could eat. And you just think about that, right? That's what I'm talking about, adding value and impact. It's not about doing big stuff. What's the little stuff you're doing so you're actually helping another person? Because you don't know how that impact is going to be generational.
It's so true. Like, I mean, there's two things I want to say. I mean, the first thing was similar to me. You know, I grew up in New Zealand and, you know, I'm part Maori. And, you know, I look back at my granddad who lived in Kaikoura. He was one of 11 kids who lived on a farm. And for his birthday, he got an orange. And here I am getting, you know, Lego sets when I was a kid and all these toys and fake guns and laser, you know, video games. And, you know, he was probably more grateful for that orange than I was for... And that's just two generations or one generation.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. Like the difference. And so I think, you know, it'd almost be disrespectful not to take advantage of it, you know, out of respect for people who have sacrificed, you know, in older generations. And the other thing I was going to say in terms of, you know, you don't have to do huge things to make an impact. There's this guy on TikTok, and I think we should do some stuff like this with Student Edge.
Yeah.
But he does a bunch of stuff. But one of the things he does is he writes a letter. And like on a piece of paper, he rips it up and just writes, I hope that you find, he says whatever, a nice letter. It says, I hope you have an amazing day, but it's a little bit more deeper than that usually. And then he just goes up to a random person, gives it to them and walks off and they like open it. And then, you know, some of them start crying.
Wow.
And some of them, you know, look up and around and they start, you know, they hold on to it very dearly. And it's like a shredded piece of paper that he has wrote something on. You know, anyone in the world can do that. So, and that had a big impact on that one person's life.
Yeah. And it didn't take him long to write that letter, right?
Of course not.
Like, this is the stuff that I'm talking about. Like, I think if we all got up every day, can you imagine how the world, can you imagine what the world would be like? Just for a second, if everyone got up with that same attitude, mantra, that how am I actually going to add value today? Because guess what? We came to this world with nothing. We're going to leave with nothing. So what's that little bit? They always say, it was actually a young pastor, Eric, that actually said this in one of his talks. I think it was in his talk, but in his book as well, where, you know, that your tombstone has, you know, born 1980 or, you know, dead, you know, 2000, whatever. There's a dash in between. What does your dash mean?
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
You know?
That's all your life comes down to, just a dash.
Yeah. What's the dash? And I think if we have that perspective on life, I think we will start having a bit more, gratitude, you know, get up in the morning, what are you thankful for? And then, okay, I'm out the door. How am I adding value to the earth, to the community? What am I doing?
Mm.
And it could be as simple as, you know, I've seen this where people have inspired me. This is what happens. Someone will see, you know, some rubbish on the ground. They'll pick it up and put it in the bin. And I'm like, that person cares enough just to do one little act, but it inspires me just in a second.
Mm.
Like, or someone gives way in the traffic.
Well,
everyone's
quote,
busy giving stuff. Yeah.
There's that quote, a changed life changes lives. And if you can just focus on changing one person's life, then they might go on to do something else and they might go on to do something else. And that's where it's like, you know, I push the message of gratitude quite a bit on the podcast. And it's like, man, gratitude. Just by giving gratitude, you can help change people's lives and they might give more gratitude. And it's a ripple effect. And that ripple effect can either be negative, which is what we're seeing right now, or it can be positive. Yep. And it's up to you to decide which way you want to take it.
Exactly. Exactly. So anyway.
Yeah.
There you are.
But yeah, I mean, look, this has been an awesome episode, Jeremy. And that dash quote, I'm definitely going to use that. That's phenomenal. I love that.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
It's profound, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, before we wrap up, I always finish on one final question. And that is, what would be your number one piece of advice to an 18-year-old today?
Oh, gee, there's a lot.
That's a big one.
What's the number one? As an 18-year-old? Okay, so you're a bit, little bit older. You're at the end of high school, going into uni or wherever it is, probably, you know, your gap year. My advice would be, okay, make sure you keep discovering who you are and what you do. And when you found it, then start giving it away or using it. So for me, it's around communication and talking and so forth. Start unleashing it. Don't sit there knowing what you know now. You got to give it to the community. So, you know, like I would say, the meaning of life, this is quote, it's not my quote, the meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away, right? That gives you, you know, purpose. So I would say, as an 18-year-old, if you haven't found what you're good at, keep discovering and find it. Then go from there.
Wow.
Keep discovering. Yeah. That's so, and like I said, you can never be far from your gift. What better comfort can you get from that?
Yeah.
Because you can run a business, you can run, you know, you can do, you know, selling stuff, photography, making music, making beats, writing poems, writing blogs, monetizing it.
That's yeah. it.
If you're a speaker, go and speak, set up podcasts like you do. You know, you do an awesome job. You're unleashing your talent. You are a perfect example of that. You're just doing what you do.
It's funny because it's like, if not you, then who? And chances are there's someone who's less qualified and not as good as you, but they just have the confidence to do it and they just did it. And you're sitting here overthinking, going, oh, I can't do it. Oh, what about this? What about this? When? Don't be a winner. When I do this, when I achieve this, when I graduate, when whatever it is, just start it now. You know, that's the biggest thing I see. The biggest roadblock for people who want to become creators or, you know, start a business, it's when. And it's like, if not you, then who? Someone is going to, there are people out there living a dream who are less qualified than you and not as smart, not as talented, but they started. And so that's a big message I like to push. But yeah, Jeremy, look, this has been an awesome episode. Thanks so much for coming on the show. If people want to check out, people want to check out Student Edge, get involved with Student Edge Plus, which I recommend they do. Where's the best place to go?
Yeah, studentedge.org.
Simple.
Jump on. And like I always say, you jump on and discover for yourself. If you want to get involved, you sign up. I never ever tell people to sign up. I always say you do what you do. And if you like it, you can sign up. It's free. But yeah, don't ever do things because other people tell you to do it.
Yeah.
You've got to make the decision yourself. But mate, thanks for having me on the show. Thanks for doing what you do. Pumped about our partnership and what we can do. I know this is just the start, though.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning.
Absolutely. Well, look, Jeremy, I do think everyone should jump on and, you know, it's free. And they've got some pretty cool giveaways, some pretty cool free stuff. So if you just want free food, you know, it's worth signing up and checking it out. But yeah, that's it for this episode. Thanks so much, Jeremy. And looking forward to our partnership.
Thanks, buddy.